We very much appreciate your attendance here today, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto the Lord, is our reasonable service. And we are very, very thankful to see as many as have this morning gathered together here today. Appreciate the humble prayer that's been offered, and ask each of you just to continue to pray for me as we look together at a portion of God's Word. Failed to mention Dave and Sister Lois's husband. It came to my mind during the prayer. I wanted to remind you to continue to pray. His condition is not as good as we'd like it to be, but it's better than they had thought at one time. So we're very, very thankful for what the Lord has done for him. But do want to ask you to remember him and Sister Lois, who's going through every step of that battle with cancer. We have no sound. Thank you, Sister Betty. That's the best way to get something done. It says something about it. So. This morning, I'd like to call your attention for a little while to the writings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. My mind is on Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like to read the first 10 verses there. Just pray the Lord would bless us to look at the passage of Scripture that I'm sure with many of you, very, 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 very familiar passage. One that I do feel very much impressed to speak on this morning. Pray the Lord is in the matter. Ephesians chapter 2 is a very meaningful passage of Scripture for me. It has been one of the areas of the Bible that the Lord, I believe, blessed me to see and understand about salvation, and how our salvation is in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. Very important part of the Bible for us to understand what's written in so much of the rest of the Bible if we misinterpret or misread or misunderstand what is taught here. Then so many of the passages of the Scripture that talk about the duty and the responsibility of the little child of God to be obedient and follow the Lord can be misapplied and turned into an effort on man's part to gain his eternal salvation. What we have here is a clear and direct passage of Scripture that tells us about salvation and how that it is by God's grace and by God's grace alone. The salvation is of the Lord, that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and finisher of our salvation. That He is, as David said, the Lord is my salvation. He is really our everything. Jesus is our everything. He is the way and the truth and the life. He is our everything. This passage of Scripture tells us how it is that we even are here today. Not only here naturally, I think it has some information regarding that as how we are here naturally and are in any way here, but how we're here in another way spiritually, how we are not only as natural men and women gathered together in a building that's a natural building, but how that there's a called out people the Lord has given in this world and placed in this world that He calls out of nature's darkness that we were in by nature. And in the light of the Lord, we're able to gather and learn about things and grow in a spiritual fellowship and a spiritual relationship that is not only with the Lord, but with the rest of the body of Christ, with other believers. We grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And if we understand that today, it really is a great benefit to us in our lives. It allows us to see who we are and to know who it is we're really to praise, so that our praise isn't misdirected, so that we're focusing on what God called us to do and what He gave us life to do, and that is to praise Him. We'll read the passage. He says in Ephesians 2:1, He says, "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The writer here very clearly tells us that without the Lord we are still in a state of death, that we can't get ourselves out of that state, that we are, before we were quickened, we were dead. That life that we have is not a product of ours, or a product of some other man's, a product of a church, a product of a group of people, a product of mother or father or anyone else. But if we have life, life spiritually, just as our natural life came from the Creator, remember now thy Creator, not anyone else, but our Creator is the one who has given us life. He's the one who's given us natural life, and if you have spiritual life today, if you have life in Christ today, if you are alive spiritually, if you have an understanding of spiritual things, that you understand the things of God, you have a longing for them, a hunger for them, a thirst for them, a need for them, an emptiness without them in your life, it's only because of what God has done for you by His wonderful and amazing grace. Not something you could do on your own, not something you could get on your own, not something someone could convince you of, not something you would hear or adhere to or desire for yourself. As a matter of fact, you and I, in our nature, were so born in sin, shapen in iniquity, so separated from God, we did not in our carnal mind have any desire to call upon Him. We did not have any ability to reach out to Him. We had no want to, nor need, nor ability on our part. That is from our understanding. Though we did and would need Him for anything beneficial, we'd have no appreciation of that. As a matter of fact, man, in that dead state that we were born in, and David said that in Psalm 51, he was born in sin, shapen in iniquity. A little later in the writings of the Psalms, we read that the wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray right away. And they speak lies. Even the little ones. There is no hope for us in ourselves. We have the sentence of death in ourselves, the Apostle Paul wrote. There's only one way that you and I could have life in this world, spiritually speaking. That's the same way we have life, naturally speaking. It is the gift of God. It is the Lord who forms and fashions the little babe in its mother's womb. It's the Lord who took an Adam and an Eve and breathed into their nostrils, breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, and then took from Adam a rib and then made him a helpmeet in this world. It was the Lord who did all these things. And without the Lord, there would have been no natural life. I don't care what anyone else wants to say about that. As far as I'm concerned, the Bible has settled it. The Word of God declares it. And by grace and through the faith I believe the Lord has given me, I'm settled with that. Aren't you thankful you can be settled with how this old world got here? Some people are worried to death about that today. Just as sure as that's the truth, naturally speaking, you and I would never have loved God or called upon God or reached out to God or ever wanted to darken the doors of any church, ever wanted to go learn about the Lord. We never had hungered or thirsted. When you find the hungry and the thirsty, you're looking at the living. You're not looking at the dead. You're looking at those who have been brought from a state of death to a state of life. A baby doesn't get hungry to get alive. A baby's hungry because it's born. And once it's born, it has a hunger and it has a thirst. It has to have life. And as Nicodemus came asking the Lord those questions that no doubt were troubling him in his heart. You know, Nicodemus said, we know that thou art a man from God, sent from God, because no man could do these things except God had sent him. Nicodemus saw some things that he could have never seen without the Lord opening his eyes to see it. There, as he asked those questions, he talked about the new birth. Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." Nicodemus said, "How can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Because he was thinking naturally. Somebody would say, "Well, maybe you know that he had to not be a little child of grace if he's thinking naturally." And you know, I ask you, have you ever thought naturally? Do you ever get natural minded? Do you ever get off track? Does your mind sometimes get away from the things of God? Are you always looking at every situation, every place you are, all the time spiritually? Are you always that way? Or are you like me, with a mind that sometimes is prone to wander and goes to the carnal things or the fleshly things or the natural things? I get worried about things I shouldn't worry about. I get concerned about things I shouldn't get concerned about. I try to fix things that I can't handle. I try to do things in this world that only God can do. I try to help the Lord. The Lord doesn't need my help. I need His help. And if you're today in your life trying to help the Lord get along, believe me, God is on His throne. He rules and He reigns. The Lord omnipotent reigneth. And He knows all. He sees all. He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. How big is He? If we had to make a house for Him, I believe He's here present in this little gathering today. I believe He's in this assembly. I believe where two or three are gathered together, He's there, one in their midst. But I'm telling you, the best house Solomon could ever build would never have held Him. He said, "The world is mine and the fullness thereof. Heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool." That's the God we serve. He's the one who laid out the great vast oceans of this world. He said He held the water in the palm of His hand. And that's figurative language. That's just to help us get a grip on it. That's just to help our little finite, weak minds that do not know His ways and His thoughts get some understanding, just the best we can right now. One day, I believe we'll see Him in that glorious view that we see as close as we can today in the Scripture of this powerful, awesome, mighty God who is our Savior, who is Lord. Who somewhere in your life, if you're alive, spoke life to you. He didn't try to do it. He didn't just want to do it. He didn't come and say, "Would you help me out? Get it done. I need some help getting it done." No more than He asked me to help Him when He wants the wind to blow. And by the way, the wind, according to the psalmist, comes out of the treasuries of the Lord. It comes out of that powerful God. You want to see the winds blow and the storms come. And then when we need rain, we don't go looking to the prince of the power of air. That prince of the power of the air that's spoken of here isn't talking about a devil who owns this world and is running this world. I'm telling you, there's a devil here in this world only by the Lord suffering him to be for the time. I don't understand even all about that, but I know this. That old boy can't do anything that he does have. He doesn't have any time the Lord suffers him not to do something he can't do. He's using him in the sense that he is overruling his power and his might. And there's a place prepared for the devil and his angels. And there's a place that would be ours were it not for the grace of Almighty God. I want us to really understand what a state we were in today if we didn't have the Lord. If we didn't have him. He said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." A trespass is a breaking of a law. A trespass is when you do something contrary to the law. You can do it towards a person. You can do it towards property. You can do it if you can trespass and go where it's unlawful to go. You can trespass. You can break anywhere time you broke the law. But any trespass, no matter who it's done against, is really ultimately done against the lawgiver. It's against the Lord. That's why David said, "Unto thee, O Lord, unto thee I have transgressed, I have sinned. Unto thee, I have..." Really, in one place, in several places, it says, "And to thee only have I sinned." Sometimes we say, "Well, I didn't... What did I do? I just upset that person." Listen, every time we transgress the law, we have gone contrary to a God who is holy and righteous and altogether lovely, without any spot, without any blemish, and any transgression of the law is unrighteousness with Him. He says, wherein in times past you walked. You hath he quickened. In other words, there are some people here that are alive, that once were dead, but now they're no longer dead, they're alive. And you hath he quickened who were dead. And it tells us about where we were in that dead state. It says, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world. That means we knew the things of the world. We knew the things of a man. We walked as men. We walked as women. We walked in this world. That's our thoughts were in the spirit of man. The only things we could know is by the spirit of man which is in us. We did not know the things of the spirit of God. Our eye could not see them. Our ear could not hear them. Our heart could not understand them. They would have no meaning to us whatsoever. We could be brought up under the sound of the most pure gospel in this world, and it would have no effect on us whatsoever until God awakens us by His grace, and until God arrests us, until God makes a change in our heart, until God does that in the heart of a little child of God, until that work is done, there is no love, no desire for the things of God whatsoever. The Bible says, the eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love Him. Didn't stop there, though. I'm sure glad it didn't. It says, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. You see, you and I today are talking about the things that God prepared for them that love Him. And listen, by the way, no one would love Him. The Bible says, we love Him because He first loved us. And that love that He had towards us, according to Ephesians 1, was even a love that was before the very foundation of the world, according as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. There's an elect people talked about in Romans 8 that God foreknew, that He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That in time He calls, and that calling is that effectual calling that takes place in the new birth. Every one of them that He knew before the very foundation of the world, that He made choice of in election. Every one of them will be housed with Him in heaven in immortal glory without the loss of one. By the way, it's not just a little old band like you see here today. Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren. You find someone with a hunger and a thirst after righteousness. The Bible said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? First of all, they're blessed if they're hungry. You know why you're blessed if you're hungry? Because if you're hungry, you're alive. And the life that you have in the Lord is not life temporary. It's life everlasting. It's not life for a little while. It's not life maybe so. It's life that's given. It's not life that you asked for or merited or gained by your effort. It's not that life that a preacher talked you into or convicted you of. It's a life that can only come from God. And just like the wind blows where it listeth. John says the wind blows where it listeth. And you can, in the writings of John, Jesus' words, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. That's in John chapter 3. That doesn't mean some of us. That means everyone. Every little child of grace is born the same way. The little babe in its mother's womb that's quickened like a John the Baptist. And others that we read of in the Old Testament that were called and sanctified and set apart even in their mother's womb. We know a work of grace can happen there, even in a mother's womb. It can happen as a young boy or a young girl seated on a bench. It can happen while you're walking in the course of this world. Listen, somewhere the wind of God's grace will blow in the life of every little child of grace, somewhere between conception and death. It isn't done by the gospel. It isn't done by the gospel preacher. It isn't done by the reading of the Bible. It isn't done by anything other than the awesome power of a holy and a sovereign God. And there is absolutely nothing that can cause that not to happen. Every one of God's children will be called effectually by His grace. Now, does that say there's no benefit in the gospel? If you've ever heard me say that, you misunderstood me. Or either I've misspoken, which could happen. I don't want to misspeak. I'll tell you, I believe what I have to say this morning from the Word of God is the most important thing in this world for God's old children to know. I believe your happiness, your rest, your joy, your peace depends upon you having an understanding. And the more you understand, the more you'll have the rest and the joy and the grace and the peace of God to be multiplied to you through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the more you know about your Savior, the more you'll be at peace and the more you'll be at rest. I don't believe anything that I say is going to add anything to your eternal home or what the Lord has done for you at Calvary. I don't believe I'd be able to say anything if He hadn't done something for me at Calvary and given me the liberty and the ability to do it. Our salvation's in the Lord. He says in Ephesians that we were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And I hear some of these good brothers preaching, and I want to take about half of what they say and share it somewhere else. And I thought, well, I don't know how that works. Well, I thought about it. You know, they don't have a patent on it. Nobody has a patent on the truth. And by the way, we're not supposed to be bringing up something original. I am supposed to be sharing what the Bible says and what's been laid down, that faith once given unto the saints. And that is what I'm to preach. I'm not to add to take from God's Word. And so when I hear something good from another brother, well, I ought to just be thankful and share it when I can. Our dear brother Raven Lord said yesterday, he says, election doesn't cut anybody out. It's what cuts you in. You hear that? Some people say, I don't like that election. It cuts people out. Listen, election is what got you in. If there wasn't an election of grace by Almighty God, there would be none of us saved. There would be no hope for me. There'd be no hope for you. There'd be no hope for any of us. Election is where God looked down upon a people that were deserving of hell. He looked down upon a people that had sinned and walked in the transgression and trespass, who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And we read that and see that picture in the Old Testament as a little babe cast out into an open field, laying out there dead and polluted in its own blood, just wasting away. And then a time of love came when one came by, and I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ, and He said to that little babe, live. And that babe lived. And a dead one that would do nothing but take the name of the Lord and spew it out of their lips in a curse word, then becomes one who would pray and praise God. Listen, it took a persecuting Saul and made him a preaching Paul. It took a tax collector named Matthew and put him as one of the apostles who wrote this one part of it. By inspiration of God, wrote this book. I believe it took a little old boy like me somewhere in my life and who was afraid to stand up and give a book report at school. Stand before the Lord's people. And try to declare unto you what a wonderful... Listen, you got a wonderful Savior. Do you love Him? If you love Him, it's because He first loved you. You say, I want to love Him more. That's a great evidence if you want to love Him more. That shows you know you got sense enough, you don't love Him enough. A lot of people think I've loved Him so much, He's got to love me. That's mixed up. I'm telling you, you love Him because He first loved you. You'll never love Him, nor will I, as much as He's loved me. But because He's loved me, I want to love Him more. I want to live for Him better. I want to talk better, act better, behave better. Not in order to get His love, because He's shown me that love already by His grace. But I want to live in a way to honor Him and glorify Him. I want to do that better in my life. And as a matter of fact, that's the only thing that's really important from my day I was born to the day I die. The rest of it's huff and puff. All the stuff I gain, care of my house is big or little. When I'm dead and gone, it'll be somebody else's. Whether the paint's on the wall or whether it's not. Whatever our clothes I'm wearing, they'll probably cover two or three people when I'm gone. Listen. What's important about what we do in this world is when we're talking about the Lord. When we're sharing the Lord in our families, when we're praying to Him, when we're in trouble, we're calling upon Him, when we're talking to our children about trusting in Him and leaning upon Him, when you meet in a place like this and you praise Him and you honor Him and you give glory to Him, that's an activity you're going to do in heaven. You get a little taste of it down here. And God forbid I'd miss these opportunities by being so busy trying to gain all the huff and puff that I just leave behind and don't get to hold on to. Another dear old elder used to say it this way, why would I try to hold on to that which I can't keep and let loose of that which I cannot lose? life we have in Christ, that treasure that's in heavenly places, that's a blessing. You didn't merit it, you didn't gain. I don't want to miss it, do you? I want to be there when the gospel's preached. I want to be there when the songs of Zion are sung. I want to be there at the baptismal hole when a dear brother pictures the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and that wonderful ordinance of baptism. I want to be at the communion table when the bread is shared that pictures the sinless perfection of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wine is shared which pictures His blood that was shed at Calvary for an old sinner like me. And I believe you are in our fellowship. I see it on your face. That's one thing about a little child of God. It doesn't take long to get to know them. You have a kinship that's in the Lord. You have a brother, a sister you haven't met. We go along in this world, and sometimes they try to hide it. Listen, don't hide. Listen, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Some people say they're going to say, if they were already automatically going to say so, the commandment would never need to come to let the redeemed say so. You and I have a story to tell, a truth to declare, a God to praise, a song to sing, a life to live. Praise should be coming from our feet, from our life, from our mouths, and from our feet, from our activities. Honor and glory and praise given to the Lord. Above everything else, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The scripture says, and all this shall be added to you. It'll make you happy in your day. Listen, if you love the Lord, it's because He first loved you, and heaven is your home, and there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither height, nor depth, nor principality, nor power, nor anything past or present, nor any other creature is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Heaven is secure for you, but that doesn't mean lay back, don't do anything. It means to become active in the service of God. Listen, if we get the message that He saved us, so I'll just sit back and, well, that sounds like we've got something mixed up, and we do. This grace that we declare doesn't put you to sleep, it wakes you up. I hope it stirs you up this morning. I hope you can look at the family God gave you and see His grace all over your family. I hope you can see it. I hope you can see the church fellowship that you've been enjoyed to have, and you can see God's grace and all that He's done. I hope you can even envision the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, where He went there in our room instead. And though He was completely without sin and no spot or blemish, He willingly gave His life at Calvary and shed His blood at Calvary that you and I might have life eternal. And not only that, we have a place here in this world of fellowship. In the little span of, this is just, your life is short. Have you figured that out? I remember being young like some of these folks on the bench. I tell you, a year seemed like forever. Somebody said, well, you know, I heard yesterday, said, we'll do that next year. And then the little fella said, riding in a go-kart, said, well, just you come next year and we'll ride. We'll do it next year. He said, a year is a long time. And it is to the young. I'll tell you now, they pass quickly. Saw that dear old brother yesterday, Brother Raven Lord, that I've heard in the past and seen him in the past, that dear brother among us, and saw him again and thought, what blessings God has given me in my life over those years. How rich our lives have been because of the fellowship of good brethren like that, and meetings like I enjoyed yesterday and I believe this morning, and times of fellowship around a table or in a home where we've been able to talk about the Lord. Listen, all the other stuff we talk about, all the ball games and all the other stuff. And I'm not saying all of that in and of themselves. It's part of life. And I'm just saying keep first things first and right things in place. And all these other things that God has allowed you to have, He's given you these things. You can enjoy them in their place. But remember, the most important, vital things you have are focused in the Lord. Focused in the Lord. And if you don't have Him in that, and God's little children, we're talking about God's elect, God's children that neglect it. That's what we're talking about this morning. God's children can neglect it. If one isn't a little child of grace and isn't born of His Spirit, again, as I've said already, nothing I've said will have any meaning. But if it's having meaning to you this morning, if it's hitting a lodging place, that is an evidence that a work has been done in you that I could not do, nor any other preacher could do, though you may have thought they did it. There are some people who think I got this done and I got that done because I did this and I did some other thing. Listen, if you know the Lord today, it's because the Lord worked a work of grace in your heart that you couldn't have had done anywhere else. And don't dare give anyone the glory for that except the Lord, because he's deserving of every bit of it. And that's a big difference. If the doctrine we preach does not honor God altogether, we've got a false doctrine. If the gospel that I'm teaching and preaching is not talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified as the way, the truth, the life, and him altogether, if that's not it, I have got a false gospel. The life that we have is a life that's been given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we would have remained in this desperate state that we read about here. He says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and that is the prince of the devils or the demons. That's Beelzebub. It's talked about in Matthew 12. It doesn't give him control of this world. God, the devil is not in control of this world. We know who's in control. The Lord said in Psalm 50, the world is mine and the fullness thereof. That's who owns the world and who is in control. And the Bible says in John, 1 John, it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful that though there is an adversary in this world and that he will rend you if you fall under his influences, he is a destroyer. He is a liar. He will take your life and bring it to ruin. He will lead you in a path that will cause destruction, a broad way that will lead to destruction. And even a little child of grace can fall into great despair and come to the place where David was in Psalm 51, where he cries out, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Very desperate condition. But he can't touch your eternal destiny. Thanks be to God. And even then, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When we resist the devil, what happens? The Bible says he will flee from you. And how do we resist him? Well, you draw nigh unto God. As we draw nigh unto God in the Lord by his power, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we just say, well, I just can't do any better. And it is true in yourself, you can't do any better. But in the Lord, you have no excuse. We have no excuse in the Lord. Because in the Lord, we can live and act and behave in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation. Here, the Apostle Paul talks about the conversation, and this is really talking about his lifestyle. He had a lifestyle in times past in the lust of the flesh. In other words, I'm just satisfying the lust of the flesh. And I think sometimes how so deceitfully this can be for us. Because sometimes we just see this as, well, that's just a bad lifestyle. Just someone living a bad lifestyle. That really doesn't apply to me. It didn't really fit me. Because, you know, I've done some things, but I've never done like this one or that one. We get the idea, I've never really been a very bad boy. I've never really been a very bad girl. I've messed up a little bit. But I haven't done like this one. I can point a bunch of them, like this one and that one. I've not been that bad. Listen, that's the flesh talking right there, just as loud as it can talk. The Bible tells us what we are, and we are by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The Bible says that if we are keep the law in every point, and yet we're guilty of one point, we're guilty of all the law. Not only that, when you read it over in the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, in Isaiah 64, boy, the language here is so clear and plain, and you all know it, but we'll read it again this morning. He says, but we are all as an unclean thing. Now, who is that? All of us. And now all our righteousnesses, that means our very best, are as what? Filthy rags. This is verse 6 of Isaiah 64. He says, we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That doesn't mean we're just a little wrong, a little messed up. We were left to ourselves dead in trespasses and in sins. It wasn't just a little good that needed to be reformed and lit up. There was none good. No, not one. Now, what if we changed our mind? Well, listen what the scripture says. There is none that calleth upon thy name. Who would have called upon the Lord if the Lord had not first called upon them? The Bible says there's none. If you're calling on the name of the Lord, it's because He's already spoken to you and given you life. You want to call on Him? Somebody says, oh, I've had even the question. I want Jesus. How can I get Him? I thought to myself, brother, that shows a desire that you want Him. That shows an evidence that you have Him. That shows a work of grace already in your heart. And the Bible says that if we're hungry and thirsty, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. It also tells us He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Have you found that rest? You find it coming to Him. He says, there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. We had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That means we deserve the very wrath of God. And that's all we would have ever had. I'm glad the writer didn't just stop there, aren't you? I'm glad we got him. He goes on. He says, but God. But God. That was one who intervened on your behalf. Who? God. Why? Because He is rich. Who is rich in mercy? He's rich in mercy. I need mercy. He's rich in mercy. When He shows you mercy, He still has mercy for me. And I feel like I need a lot of mercy. If His mercy would ever fail, I'd be consumed. But our God is so powerful, He can show mercy over here and be just as merciful over here and just as merciful over here. He's not like you and I. We have limited resources. If somebody comes and asks me for $100, I might be able to help them. Somebody else comes along, I'm probably not going to do too much. It might get 50. We're limited in resources. Isn't it wonderful to have a God who can take care of all that I needed and take care of all that you needed and take care of all that every one of us needed, and then all of His family that is alive on the earth today take care of all they needed, and then all that have ever lived in any generation, past, present, and future, and take care of His mercies, and He has just as much mercy as when it started, because He's the source of our mercy. He's the God of all mercy. Who is rich. He's rich in mercy. For His great and His love. What kind of love? Great love. Listen, He had great love. Well, you and I love those many times because there's a reason. And we see a reason to love them. He loved us when there was no reason to love us. And in turn, as you see how much He's done for you, you can't help but love Him. The more you feel forgiven, the more you'll love those who feel forgiven the most. Somebody said, why is it important that I feel so bad about my own self? Because number one, it's the truth. And number two, it allows you to truly love Him the way you should. Because if you feel like He hadn't forgiven you, if you're not guilty of much, He hasn't forgiven you much. Like a Simon who sat back and looked at that woman and said, if he knew what kind of woman that she was, he wouldn't let her touch him. He didn't understand what kind of Simon he was. He said, this woman who's been forgiven much, loveth much. Those who've been forgiven. That's why depravity. Somebody said, I don't want to hear that. A lot of people are shying away from declaring sin as sin and saying, calling it sin. And they don't want to preach that because it makes people not feel so good. And it downs people. Listen, this isn't to make you sick or feel bad. It's to allow you to understand what you are that you might truly feel good. I don't want you to go feeling good about a lie. I want you to go feeling good about the truth. Listen, the gospel will comfort you. And part of that gospel is to recognize what sinners we are and how deserving we are of the judgment and the wrath of Almighty God. Are you mimicking me? Bless your heart. the judgment of God would have been mine. Listen, I deserve to be cast away from him. And then my nature tells me, oh, you weren't such a bad fellow. And then in the spirit, I start thinking of all the times I failed to do what I said I was going to do. All the times I said I was going to be here. All the times that I've been in the right place and doing the right thing. But in my heart, all kinds of stuff is going on. Are you there with me? The times I've sung songs that ought to have been stirring my heart and sung them just like I didn't even know I was singing. The times I've prayed to the Lord and my mind's been somewhere else wandering all over the place where it should never have been. When I see all the sin, even on my best day, all the sin that's mixed with everything I do, I am so thankful for His grace, because without His grace, there'd be no hope for a sinner like me. But we sang it this morning, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. You can go and say, the preacher called me a wretch this morning, because that's what I just did. And the reason I did is because it's the truth. But I also believe there's an amazing grace that saved a wretch like you and a wretch like me. And it was the love of a Savior. He had for us a long time before we ever thought about Him. He saw us in covenant before the very foundation of the world. His foreknowledge saw us. He saw us in our needy, desperate condition. God the Father loved and sent the very best, His own Son from heavens. He left all of the glories of heaven and came in, walked in this old earth, walked and took upon Himself a form of flesh. He became man. The reason He became man is because He had to pay a sin debt for men and women like you and I. He took them a perfect life and a perfect body and offered it as a perfect sacrifice. And as man, He died. And as God, He had the power to come forth from the grave. He wasn't half 50-50 God, man. He was 100% man, 100% God. He was the one who is the perfect sacrifice. He was the priest who offered Himself. He offered Himself. He was the sacrifice and He was the priest. Sounds like He's everything, doesn't it? He is. Jesus is all the world to me. If I'm going to make it in this world, I need Jesus. I need Him every day. I need Him every hour. I need Him every moment. And I would have never known about Him or cared about Him had He not found me in a waste howling wilderness and lifted me out of this old troubled world and put my feet on the rock, put a new song in my mouth. And I want to sing that song. I want to praise His name. I want to give Him glory. I don't want to talk about what I'm doing for the Lord, because I'll tell you, all I've ever done has been a mess. But I love to talk about what the Lord has done for me. How about it? What's He done for you? You might be saying in your heart, well, I just hope He's done. That's good evidence if you feel that. That's good evidence. If you're not already mad at me for calling you a wretch, you know, a lot of people would already walk out. Brother Lord said this too. He said he said sometimes preaching in the afternoon. Preaching in the afternoon, he said it's pretty hard. He preached in the afternoon. He said it's pretty hard preaching in the afternoon. He said he just told the story. I don't know whether he knew anybody or not. He said it was a moving sermon because half the people got up and left. He said it was very calming because the rest of them went to sleep. And it was so satisfying, they never asked me to come back. I'll tell you what the gospel will do, though. It will truly move you. It'll move you. It will calm you. It won't put you to sleep. It'll wake you up. But it's a comfort for you. If you've ever lived under a law service and a law gospel, and I lived there for about 10 years of my life, actually a little longer, and it was a bondage. Every day trying to be what I could be. And listen, it wasn't like I was doing things I ought not have been doing. I mean, it was things that were what I believe the Bible teaches me to do. Trying to live better, act better, talk better, and behave. But see, my idea about that is that I was getting accepted with God by those actions. Even though the actions in themselves There weren't anything wrong with those actions. It wasn't anything wrong with the praying. It wasn't anything wrong with trying to get to the house of God and attend church. It wasn't anything wrong with that. But if I believe for one moment those things were what was making me accepted with God, I missed the blood of Jesus. The only thing that can make any of us accepted with the Lord is the sinless blood of the Lord Jesus Christ applied to us. This worship service will not be accepted with God if it wasn't covered in the blood of Jesus. My preaching would have no power or ability if it's not covered in the blood of Jesus. Your singing would never be heard and your prayers would never be heard if it was not covered in the blood of Jesus. And I had no peace about who I was as a little child of grace. And I want you to have peace today. I want you to rest in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to be resting in what He's done for you. And then get busy honoring Him, praising Him. As mama's raising your babies as best you can, as the Lord has taught you to do that, as fathers living your life the way you ought to, as the Lord has directed you to do that, as men and women out in this world letting our light, so you got a light to shine in this world, let it so shine, not to honor yourself. You see, that's what all that other stuff I was doing under the law service was trying to do. I was trying to, and even though I didn't mean it, I was in ignorance. It really came to be all of it. What is it Brother John says a lot of times? It ain't all about you. As a matter of fact, it ain't about us at all. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. And living to honor Him. He says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, that's what a mess we were in, hath quickened us together. He quickened us. That means He born you of His Spirit. He made brothers and sisters. And then He quickened us together. How? With Christ. We have fellowship with Christ. Isn't that wonderful today? We come in here and hug one another's necks, and as we do it unto one another, He said, as much as you've done it to the least of my brethren, you've done it also unto me. We're having fellowship with the Lord. We sit down with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and we feel Him with us. We feel His presence. He makes Himself manifest. He's quickened us, made us alive together with Christ. Now get this, by grace you are saved. By grace. It's grace. Came at Christ's expense. God's riches, God's blessings given to us because a Savior loved us so much He died for us and paid for it that we might have it. Showered down upon us abundantly. Grace for preaching, grace for sitting and hearing preaching, grace for singing, grace for praying, grace for living, grace for dying, grace for everything you ever need in your life. Grace, His grace, 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 wonderful grace. His grace saved us eternally. His grace saves us daily in our life. You need grace every day. You need daily salvation. Not just eternal salvation, but temporal, timely salvation. His grace to get you through. This is the world can get tough. It can be a troubling. You and I need grace. We need the Lord. And the Lord is there. The Lord is supplying what we need. And He's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, I believe we're enjoying that very thing today. We're sitting together in a heavenly place in Christ. I believe there are other times coming. I believe there's a day coming that we're going to all be gathered in a place that He has prepared for us in heaven. I don't have a clue how beautiful that's going to be, but what I see as glimpses of it here, oh, it just gives me a longing to be there. Oh, what it must be to be there. While we're here, He gives us little heavens here below, little places of heavenly abode. He comes and makes His mansion with us, a place of heavenly abode. We feel His presence. We're made to sit together with others of God's children in heavenly places. Places spiritually that are above this world. And it's in Christ. Listen, you don't have heavenly places anywhere but in Christ. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Just, you think it's been good this far, just wait on Him. And as we trust in Him every day, every hour, doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles. Doesn't mean you're not going to have life. Times you're on the mountaintop and times you're in the valley. It's a travel in this world that's all sometimes up and sometimes down. But I'm telling you, the Lord is there in every storm. Sometimes it's in the darkest storm you see Him the best. Sometimes we have to go through those hard, difficult times in order to really feel His presence. Sometimes our prayers have just been surface until the need drives us to a place. This can't be surface anymore. I need to. Sometimes at home I get to where I just feel the burden. I feel like I don't want to just bow my head. I get down almost prostrate in the floor and lie before the Lord and just beg Him, Father, please bless us. Please bless our church. Bless our family. Bless our homes. I've been in some difficult times, and I'll say this. God has never let me down. I've been so negligent at times to look to Him. But when I've been blessed by the grace of God to look to Him, He has always been that rock that stands in the storm. And I believe that even as I've seen it in my brethren who've left this world in faith, and faith being the gift of God given to them, God did not forsake them. In the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Faith is that wonderful gift that God has given us as a fruit of the Spirit, whereby we are enabled to trust and believe on Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And we're able to look to Him. You're able to embrace all that's been said today. Listen, salvation is a reality for God's children, whether you and I embrace it or believe it or not. It's still a reality for every little child of God. Just like you're in the safety of the Lord. Now, you can go out here scared to death today, but if you're in the safety of the Lord, are you just because you're scared, does that mean you're not in His safety? It just means you're not enjoying that safety that you're in. Listen, He's with you every day, whether you've recognized. Hey, do you believe He's been with you when you haven't recognized Him? Boy, I'd hate to think He's only with me when I'm recognizing Him. I've been in a lot of troubled places. Listen, there are times we haven't thought about Him being with us. He's been right there. He's everywhere present. He's nowhere absent. Faith allows us to understand that He's with you. Faith allows you to find that time of deliverance of going down the highway saying, I know I'm in trouble, but the Lord's right here with me, so it's going to be all right. I don't know what's coming tomorrow, but I know He does, and with Him with me, it's going to be all right. I don't know what I got to face in the future. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, but if the Lord's with me, it's going to be all right. He'll shut doors that need to be shut. He'll open doors that need to be opened. My life is in His hands. He loved me enough to die for me. He can take care of me. And this old troubled world, it's not so much me sometimes I'm worrying about now. It's my children and those that are coming after me. How are they going to live? What's the world going to be like for them? Listen, the same God's going to still be right there. If this world stands, it may be that He's coming today. I know He's coming. And it's by faith that I know that. And that's a deliverance. And I should live every day like He could be coming today. I ask you, would you be doing this, what you're doing this morning if you knew He was coming this afternoon? If you knew the time He was coming, would you be acting different? Would you be behaving different? You know, I believe that's one reason the Lord's never told us when He's coming. Because we should always be what? Ready and looking. We're looking for Him. We're looking for Him. And boy, that's a different way to live, isn't it? I'm not finished, but it's time to stop. Y'all have been very patient and kind, especially these young ones. And I appreciate y'all doing that. And, I'll tell you the things that have been from His Word, we have from His Word, those things as the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, they are what we are to live our life by. If your house is built on that foundation of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, as you face the storms of life, your house will stand. That's a promise from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And we don't want to be like a foolish man to just build our house anywhere. You dig deep, build your house on that rock, teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.